Blog Talk Radio.
Joining us on another episode of Kenny and Kwasny, Family Matters with Kenny and Kwasny. Lord, I'm messing up on my own name. Forgive me. Family Matters with Kenny and Kwasny. I am your host, Kenny, and I have my other host on the line, Kwasny. Are you there, honey?
Hello.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, tonight is Free Flow Friday, and our topic tonight is Reaching Generational Millennials. The millennial generation has taken the world by storm. The generation that has changed the face of work, church, family, and traditions have been around for ages. Generation Y has caused the other generations to adapt to many areas that sometimes seem uncomfortable. How must the previous generations alter its way to influence the millennials? Is it possible for the generations to find a common ground? Should the church implement changes in an effort to reach millennials? Again, thank you for joining us on tonight. Friday is November 4th, and the time is 8:01 p.m. I ask that if we have any streamers or callers that are interested in calling, please call us at area code 657-383-1571. Again, that's area code 657-383-1571. All right, so we're now going to open up the lines tonight. We have our first two callers on the line. Call 1-844 and 1035. You're on 0135. You're on air.
What's going on, Brother Kenny?
What's happening? Kilo. What's going on?
Man, nothing much. Nothing much at all. Sitting here in the ride with the wife. She's the other caller.
Right. Hey there.
Hey, how you doing? We're doing well.
All right. That's good. But we sure appreciate y'all for calling in on tonight. You know, the lines will be open if y'all have anything you want to add in, because, you know, y'all do have millennials. Y'all do have some millennials. So you definitely welcome to give us some experience.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right.
Not a problem. Thank you.
All right. So we will be looking for y'all input. All right. So, millennials, the generation born from 1980, the early 1980s, to around 1997 to 2000, they had different ages and different, you know, websites and things I went through. But I think we can pretty much recognize the millennials from characteristics. Then, of course, before them would be us, which is considered Generation X, those who were born in 1960s, between 1960s and 1980. And then before us would be the baby boomers, 1940s and 1960s. So we know that the millennials, first of all, let me tell you where I got this topic from. I got this topic from watching the T.D. Jakes talk show. I don't know if you all have seen it. Very good show. It was on OWN. And so he was talking about this, and it just struck up something in me, and so it was something that I wanted to continue to talk about because I thought it was very interesting. But he had some millennials, you know, on there, and they were just talking about some of the, you know, the ways that they've been characterized, and then they were showing the difference in how they, you know, their day goes opposed to, you know, how our days, you know, go or win or whatever. And so this generation has truly changed the look of a lot of things. They've changed work ethics. A lot of them, you know, they don't want to be confined to a 9-to-5 job. That's not what they want. They want to be free.
Free.
And I'm sorry, y'all, I'm part millennial, even though I'm Generation X. They, you know, this is the generation that is looking on at, you know, looking at Generation X and the baby boomers, the ones who've been, you know, you've been working 9-to-5 jobs on other people's jobs and not having enough time for your children, even though, you know, you bought your house, you bought your cars, but still you're not happy. You're just miserable because you've been working in somebody else's job, some you don't have a passion for. And so this generation is saying, okay, so that's not what we want to do. We don't want to do that, you know, so we see a lot of them, they, you know, they are doing things like blogging. They're starting their own businesses. They're starting these businesses on social media, you know, Instagram, Facebook, and they're getting paid. Like, I'm still trying to figure out how they get paid like that. But they become millionaires, and some of them making six-figure incomes from doing these type of things, you know. And so it's not that they're not working hard, but what they say is, you know, we're working smart. I'm working smarter, doing something I like, and they're making money from it. And so we know that this is a time of social media. That's the world we live in now. We live in a social media time. And I know some of our generation, and definitely the baby boomers, you hear them say, you know, y'all put too much stuff on social media. Y'all put everything on social media. But that's the world that we live in now. And I don't think it's going to change. Hold on, we have two more callers. Shannon, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
What?
Yes, ma'am.
Who is this?
Oh, no, you didn't do that live. Oh, my gosh.
What happened?
Hey, Shannon, how you doing?
That was so disrespectful.
I'm just glad to hear you on the line, sis. That's all. I'm glad to hear you. Well.
Lord, the phone ringing, y'all. Sorry.
Now, that's so hood.
My bad. I'm sorry. Well, Shannon, your line is open, so feel free to join in on the conversation. You know, you have some millennials, so we look forward to hearing what you have to say because we're talking about reaching Generation Millennial tonight.
Okay.
So please join in. Keisha Kayleen, are you there?
Oh, I am. Hey, y'all. How y'all doing?
Hey, we're doing good.
What up there?
Hello.
Keisha, what year were you born? I think Keisha's a millennial.
Sorry, now what now?
What year were you born?
Then that's going to make
you a millennial.
So
you are a millennial, Keisha.
82.
Look, Keisha, you know your line will be open, so we look forward to hearing what you have to say. But I do think she's a millennial. I think
she is. Thank you. I put all my business out in the street.
That explains why she's always want to fuss with
me. So your line is open. We look forward to hearing what you have to say.
Fantastic.
All right. Okay, so, one more call. Hold on. One more caller. Evangelist, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. Hi, Pastor Quadrant. Hi, Pastor Kenny.
Hey, hey. How you doing?
Bye. Hold on one moment. Hello, Pastor Kenny and Pastor Quadrant.
So y'all rubbing it in my face that y'all together? You know what? We'll talk about this later.
Wow.
We're not going to talk about this right now on the air.
Okay.
Your line is open.
We got two powerhouses.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
That wasn't a very warm welcome.
Keisha, don't do that. Because that was just disrespectful.
Okay. I like that.
All right. So, Generation Millennial, the ones born between 1980, 1997, 2000s. Okay. So, that's what we're talking about tonight for those of you who just came on the line. And so I was just talking about how they're different than, you know, Generation X and the baby boomers as far as, you know, work. A lot of them, they want to have their own businesses. They don't want to be tied down to 9-to-5 jobs. And so that's, you know, we've seen this boom of, you know, social media. You know, they making money off social media, blogs, and making good money. I mean, they're becoming millionaires off of the Internet. You know, things that they're doing on the Internet, vlogging and YouTube channels and all of this. And so their thing is work smarter, not harder. Whereas we know our generation, the baby boomers, you know, we've always done it, you know, you work hard. And so they're coming in and they're totally changing the way things operate. So I was also talking about social media, you know, and how a lot of us say, you know, I've heard people say that, you know, we put too much online. You know, y'all put everything on Facebook. Especially, you'll definitely hear that from the baby boomer generation. You know, they say that, y'all put too much on Facebook, which we do put everything on Facebook. Well, not everything. Everybody don't put everything. But I think, you know, I think our generation, for the most part, we probably put a little less. But the millennials, you know, that's just everything is social media. You have Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat. I mean, and so this is the world that we're living in now. And so although, you know, people may think, well, that's just too much, y'all doing too much, is it going to ever change? Is it going to ever change? These are some of the characteristics that are used to describe millennials. Now, if you guys have anything else to add to the list, please do, especially you all who have children, you know, that were born in this era, you know, that are parents that have children that were born in this era. Like, we don't have children that were born. Our children, what, Generation Z or something like that. Well, that's a whole nother show. Generation Z. Okay, so millennials, Generation Y, Generation Me, Echo Boomers, this is what they're called. Some of the characteristics are narcissistic.
Yes.
Wow. Entitled.
Yes.
Wait a minute. Hold up.
Wait a minute. I'm not finished.
You're starting off wrong.
I think you should please.
You just need to go in a positive direction with these.
I'm going to. Hold on a minute.
Okay.
And I said if y'all wanted to add some stuff, coddled. But they also say that they're very open minded, determined.
Mm-hmm.
They're leaders as far as being entrepreneurs. So what do you guys think? What else would you add to describe this generation of millennials?
Motivated,
okay.
Elaborate.
I got a lot of motivation. There you go.
I work with a lot of millennials.
Oh, come on, some of you parents of millennials. What
is the age from?
Oh, hey, Leanne. I opened your line. I forgot to tell you on the phone. I don't know why I'm echoing.
Hold on.
Okay, Leanne?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. The age for millennials is born between 1980, and they say it around 1997 to 2000s. I think up to 2000. That's personally what I think. You know, different websites gave different ages, but I would say up to 2000. Me, that's what I would say. Then the baby boomers are 1940s to 1960, and Generation X, 1960s to
1980s. Okay. And this is about the millennials?
Yes, we're talking about reaching Generation Millennial.
since I'm in that generation, I'm going to say one of the biggest words to describe my generation is druggies.
You said druggies?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, that would be generation.
It has
eight.
Now become cool to be a crackhead, a pill popper, alcoholic. It is the coolest thing to do.
Wasn't it like that in Generation X, though?
We ain't got nothing on these people.
No. They're worse. They are worse. They do it to, they think it's cool to overdose and come back, you know.
Hmm. Yeah, they definitely have, there's a fear that the other generations have had that this generation doesn't have.
Yes. You can even see that with the gang.
Yeah, it's like they're you know, they're kind of fearless in a lot of ways. Huh?
I was saying, I think they're very desensitized because nothing bothers them. They haven't really experienced a lot of, I guess, hardship or things come very easy nowadays. And it could be, I think it's a combination of things. One of the things with the millennials being in this technical advanced society now, you can reach a multitude of people instantly. So that's why they're so very successful. It does take a lot of dedication, though, when you are blogging and when you are YouTubing and, you know, all of that stuff, you know, to get paid off of YouTube, you got to have, like, you know, I don't know, 1,000 subscribers or whatever, but you have to dedicate a lot of time to that. But then with the Internet, you know, you share it, and they share it, then they share it. You know, it's instant. But I think one of the issues with this generation is with the parents who possibly have struggled or who have gone through, you know, certain adversities in life. You know, they have this mentality, I don't want my kids to go through it. So they tend to do a little bit more. And then that's where you end up having the children obtaining a sense of entitlement because they ain't got to work for nothing. You know what I'm saying? So their expectation is I get whatever I want, which is, to me personally, handicapping the kids. So there's a combination of different things that I see. I haven't really necessarily seen, you know, it being cool to be a crackhead with this generation, you know. Now, we had, yes, definitely, but that's probably been going on for quite some time, but they done got fancy with it now. I guess they done got fancy. I don't really know. But I think that's more so, like, with the different topics that I've heard you guys discussing. I know, like, with my son, I have two children. So my son is 19. Well, I have four, but two that's teenagers. So my son is 19, and my daughter is 16. And with my son, you know, he has like 5,000 followers on Instagram. I'm like, do you even know these people? No, you don't know them personally. But with sharing and, you know, look at this, because he's an artist. So with people sharing his pictures or his videos or whatever he got going on, you know, then people, well, you know, they want to follow him. So like with him, if he decided to do like a YouTube, you know, channel, he may actually be successful because he already got a fan base in the computer world. So
do you all think they're more of a risk takers than we are, the other two generations, you know, baby boomers or the Generation X?
I don't necessarily think so. I don't.
Okay. Well, one thing I can say that I've noticed about Generation X when it comes to the social media, or Generation Y, I'm sorry, when it comes to the social media, right? And I've noticed that they're very open and outspoken for the simple fact is they don't mind posting videos of people fighting like animals, and they don't mind putting people in their business. You know, you have people that go on here and talk about all their business on social media, and most of the time it's coming from the Generation Y.
So why do we think that is? Is it our fault? You know, like Shannon, I completely agree with you that, you know, we try to give our children more, and we even see, you know, like with our kids, that sense of entitlement. Like I said, that their generation, you know, that's Generation Z. We're not even talking about them right now. But is it our fault that they're like that? And so is it our fault that they're so open and just, you know, put this stuff out there like that? Or
I personally think that we share some of the responsibility. I won't necessarily say it's completely our fault, but many times when I see these young folks doing certain things, you know, to me personally, you have to look at their upbringing. Now, you do have some children that's just, they just off the meter. But, like, for example, like I look at my children and I compare them to some of the other children in our subdivision. And my kids, they already know. Like, Like, I don't accept, like, they know where my compromises stop. Like, certain things I don't play. And I see a lot of these children, like, in elementary school, cursing, you know, calling folks B's. I had to check a little girl in my daughter's elementary school for calling her a B.I. You know what I'm saying? And this little girl is like in the third grade. But because some parents think it's okay to use that type of language in front of their children, then what children, they emulate what they see. So that's why I think most of the stuff that we see nowadays, we are part responsible. Not necessarily 100%, but we are part responsible. So, like with me, I'm, you know, when I was cussing a whole lot, I never did in front of my children. I didn't say that. You can't even say shut up. Shut up is a bad word. Calling your sister or your sibling stupid, that's a bad word. But in other people's homes, they don't have a feel. They don't care. So, of course, you got people who parents that smoke with their teens or in front of their teenagers. So, they don't really mind if their children, you know, start smoking weed or whatever while they're still in high school. So I think it's part, the parents are part of the responsibility as to what's going on with the stuff that we see now. Because we look back at, like, with our parents, we already knew. You know what I'm saying? We just knew immediately what our parents will accept and what they wouldn't. And nowadays, it's just a little bit more lax.
Well, yeah, you're right. And it being a little more lax is simply because you now have, well, you have younger parents, you know, and parents and children in the same generation, you know. So it's kind of easier for them to relate on that aspect when it comes to that because, like you said, it's all in the upbringing. And I think that's been going on for generations and generations, from the past, where you had parents that lacked the parenting skills needed to bring their kids up in a home that was completely set to a standard to where they won't just compromise with anything, and they
exactly.
Actually did something to make their kids have a reason for doing what they did in order to bring them up in the right you know mindset. But now, I mean, you got moms clubbing with mom clubbing with daughters. Daughters clubbing with moms, you know, dads clubbing with sons. It's just crazy. And I think we've seen stuff like that, like on the movie, like, I don't know if y'all remember. I know it's a little off topic, but, like, Don't Be a Menace to South Central While Drinking Your Juice in the Hood. Well, the guy had a young dad. And I mean, it was just stuff like that. But so it was being exposed then, but at the same time, not now it's on a greater scale.
Absolutely.
I wholeheartedly agree. Yes, ma'am. You know, like, when I was growing up, you know, when I was a teenager and things like that, I always said, I'm not going to be as hard on my kids as my dad is on me. But as I got older and I had kids, I realized I have to be just hard, if not harder. You know, but I think the problem is, like, a lot of these people aren't coming to that realization. They want to be friends with their kids before they want to be parents to their kids. You know, so that is part of the problem why some of these kids are off the chain. Like you said, you know, you got kids going to the club with their parents. You know, like, I mean, I understand sitting down and having a beer with your pops, but, like, you literally at the bar twerking to the same song your mama is. You know what I mean? That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, you know, and it's parenting. It is parenting. It's all parenting. And if you would ask me, is the way these kids act now, is it our fault? I'd say yes, no doubt. It's our fault. We could have stopped.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
I'm also going to add that there's no discipline in structure. You know, everybody has gotten away from discipline, you know, and it also comes to, if I see your child doing something, I can't say nothing to your child, you know. And when I was growing up, the whole neighborhood, if I was doing something wrong, they would be like, look, you cannot do that, and I'm going to go tell your mom. And then it would be handled. But then if you try now to be like, hey, your child almost got hit by a car, then they try to blame it on you. So it's just a lot. And, you know, now people are scared to say something to these kids. One, they're going to cuss you out. Two,
not me.
You know, you say, yeah, no, I understand. Not us. If you say something to my kid, I'm going to be like, okay. You know what I mean? You handled it, then I'm going to handle it. You know, but yeah, but that's us. You know, we can't do that with other people's kids. And I think back then when we were growing up, the whole neighborhood raised us. Now it's just individual people and things are just going just crazy because you can't say nothing to nobody's kid. I do, and I dare their parent to come and say something to me because I'm going to get you too. But that's just me.
I'm laughing at you.
I'm not scaring none of these people because you're a person just like I am. If I see your kid just like my daughter's friend, you see me coming down the street, I'm doing 5 miles per hour, but you still decide to jump off the curb with your bike as soon as I get close to you. And I was like, if you don't get your behind on that curb and pay attention to these cars on the street, you know, and she was like, yes, ma'am, and I haven't seen her jump off the curb ever since.
So you think that's, do you guys think that's the generation thing? Like, you know, with the new, do you attribute that to that? You know, the new parenting? I call it new age parenting.
It is new parenting because, like Jay just said, when I grew up, if I did something at the park all the way down the street, I got booked 4 times before I got back to my grandma's house. You know, and it was a village mentality. Everybody raised all of the children. You know, and nobody does that anymore. Like she said, you know, now everybody goes, oh, my kid ain't do nothing wrong. Like everybody thinks their kids are angels.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Thank you, guys. Anybody else?
Yeah, I have a comment, too. Like when Kenny made the comment that people are having children, I guess, younger now. I disagree with that because, like, way back in the day, like my great-grandmother, I don't know how old she was when she started having kids, but she had about 14 kids. And, you know, then my grandmother, one of them, she had 9 kids, and they started early, but you had a different mindset. It was just, you know, they were all for family, you know, period, point blank, whether it was dysfunctional, because my granddaddy was an alcoholic, so they slept in separate rooms because he would get too drunk. But, you know, they still stayed together. It was just completely different nowadays. I think the values and the morals and, you know, keeping God as the center has just changed so much with these generations. And now just to me, not to necessarily talk about religion, but, you know, nowadays you got all these people being open, you know, because we had a prayer night, and one of the young ladies, we were talking about, we were asking the young girls, it was for young children, not for young children, but for young adults and teens. I did a prayer night last month, and one of the little girls, she's about 19, we were asking, you know, who was saved and who wasn't, who had accepted God and all of this, and she was just like, I'm just open. You know, I ain't never heard of that. And I was like, so what you open to? So she was just like, you know, she's just open to just some of everything. You know what I'm saying? So it's like now the mindset with these folks is just completely different. You know, even with sexuality, like back in the day, you was, you know, gay or straight. You know, and now you see everybody gay. But now you have gay, straight, you both, you can't identify. And just all this craziness. So it's a completely different mindset, and hopefully it gets better. But I don't see it really getting any better. But hopefully it does get better. But I think that's more so of the issue because people been having kids, people been getting pregnant at 14, 15 years old. You might get shipped out somewhere, so you won't embarrass your family. But you had your baby, you came back, or however they did it, your auntie, what the mom, you know, all that little foolishness. But yet and still, everybody took care of each other. But now, it's not like that.
You know what, Shana, you definitely have a point there with everything you said. You really do have a point. You're absolutely right. The moral values have changed to a, and it's at an all-time low now. You know, you don't have. Well, what it is it boils down to the generation, like my wife said earlier. She said that they want to be free. There's a sense of lawlessness. You know, they don't want to be held to an accountability. They don't want to be held to a standard. So now, you know, being free and being able to make your own decision, your own choice, empowers that generation. And it causes them to feel empowered just because they don't feel like they're being held to no standard and nobody can tell them what to do. They can do what they want to, when they want to, how they want to, and why they want to.
And I just wanted to say this to kind of put a turn on it because positive to it, which I do agree with both, you know, with everything everybody's saying. Yeah, they are really open, Shannon, and I think that we have a hard time dealing with that, I think, because we, it's just like, you know, come on, we just accept anything. And that's not how, you know, we were raised. That's not how we were brought up, you know. And it definitely goes, you know, some of the things that they just do accept goes against what we believe as far as being Christians. And I also agree with you, Kenny, that, you know, there is a lot of lawlessness and, you know, lack of authority. You want
right. And I'm not saying that all generation why is like that. So
right.
Please don't. Yeah.
I think everybody knows that. But yeah, he's not. But I do think that we could also learn from them as far as some of the things that they're open to. And the fact that they are risk takers, because there are some risk that they will take. You know, we see the previous generations that they're, you know, we may have had a fear of stepping out to do, you know, to take. We, you know, there may have been a fear to say, I'm going to walk away from this job and I'm just going to try to open my, I'm just going to try to start my own business. And if it works, it works. If it don't, it don't. You know, but this is what they do. And it may be because they know they have their parents to fall back on. I don't know, you know, but I admire that part of this generation because they are definitely going for what they want. That you do see, they're going for what they want. It is what it is, and I'm going for it. And so I admire that part.
True. Call in 6543 on air.
Hey, what's going on, Pastor Kenny, Pastor Quagley? How y'all doing?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, yeah. I'm like, well, matter of fact, I'm still at work. I just decided to call in, so I haven't called everything that's going on as of yet.
Okay. Yeah, so we'll talk about reaching the generation of millennials, the Generation Y. And we're just talking about different things on them, you know, how can we reach them? And, you know, that's all. So whenever you have a full, you know, circle as far as what we're talking about, please feel free to add into it, because I know you got some good information for us.
I most definitely will.
The generation Y. I used to pick on this generation all the time, right? and I used to say generation Y as in the word WHY. I used to be like, this is the generation Y, because when you tell them, hey, we're gonna do this, it's why. Well, we're gonna do it like this, why? They always want to be in the know, and that's a good thing. That's another positive thing about the generation. They don't want to walk into the fear of it's the fear of the unknown. They don't want to walk in and just be like, you know what, I'm not understanding why I'm here at this point right now, but I need to know what's going on before I move any further. Whereas, you know, like I gave a while ago on one of our shows of the analogy of the little girl who finally asked her mom why she cut pieces of the turkey off before she actually put it in the oven. And it was just because the pan was too small. The little girl didn't know it, and she became a grown woman, and she did it, and finally her daughter asked her why she did it, and she called mom, and mom told her because, you know, the turkey was just too big for the pan. So you know, we used to just do it, just do it. It's just the way we always done it. It's the way always mom has done it. It's the way a lot of people have done it, you know what I'm saying? Grandma done it, granddad done it, and we just going to continue to do it this way. So, but they want to know why. Okay, what's the reason for us doing such and such? What's the reason for us doing this? And I think that's a great thing, definitely for the church, and I'm going to tell you why. When they're trying to find out things, they're trying to learn, right? Most of them are trying to learn just so they can see, okay, all right, you're saying that I should do this because this, and you're saying, okay, that faith is this. Okay, so why do I have to feel this way? And then that gives us the opportunity to open up and tell them about the goodness of the Lord. So I'm just going to, you know, add it in that piece.
That's good. I think that's good in a sense. Sometimes I ask them why, but I also believe that sometimes you're not able to tell them why. And that can also cause a frustration on both sides because of them wanting to know why for everything and then for you having to tell them why for everything. Because you being a parent, especially to most of these millennials, you being a parent to them is like, okay, because I'm your daddy and I told you, that's why. That's good enough.
Yeah, that's how we feel.
But sometimes that's not good enough for them. And then at what point does that settle in them as that is a good enough answer?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And they do ask a lot of, they do want explanations, and they go out and, you know, because we like certain scriptures and stuff that have been passed down. Well, some stuff ain't even scripture. We just think it is, you know, it's been passed down and people say it. And then they come up and they be like, you know, well, you guys need to research. This isn't right. This isn't that or whatever. So, you know, they definitely, them and this younger generation that's coming up, you know, it's like, just telling them to do it isn't enough for them a lot of times. Is it reasonable to expect them to adapt to our ways?
No, I don't think so.
I don't either. We didn't adapt to our parents' ways.
So.
I mean, they
were. No, but I just wanted to say something right quick. I do think it's reasonable to a certain extent because we all have to adapt at some point in time. Because we cannot go by our own ways of doing things because our own ways will get us sometimes in trouble. And then we wind up coming back to some of their ways and adapting to some of their ways because we did this in the first time. Does that make sense? Because we can't be just one way. Even if we be one way to them, we've got to change something in order to reach them. That's why we're talking about this. They're like, if they be one way with us, just like if they be one way with us, they're going to have to change something in order to get to the point to where we're at as well, because it can't be one way.
Right. Okay.
And I personally think a lot of us, we need to be a little bit more creative and willing to change so that we can spark some interest with them. Because, see, right now, they don't want to hear nothing we got to say because we old and we just don't know nothing. But we know a lot. Hopefully we do. Because with age, you should receive wisdom. But I think that what we need to do is think of a way, and we have to be relatable. We have to not be so caught up in our ways to where we push them away. Because that's what we were talking about actually at my church. We were talking about the millennials and, you know, how do we, you know, reach them? Because, like, a lot of times people don't want to hear, you know, I love God at church. You know, they just want to hear I'm going up yonder or whatever. You know, especially if you go to a traditional church. They're not trying to incorporate, you know, hip-hop and what's attractive to this generation. But I think it's necessary. It is so necessary on both sides because at the end of the day, we need to want to, you know, capture as many souls as possible and not and stop here because a lot of them are just lost because, one, you got a lot of parents within our generation now. Like back in my day, you know, my mom went to church every Sunday. Was, you know, my grandma went to church, everybody at church. But then I notice now, like a lot of people in my generation, a lot of us don't go to church. They go when they feel like it or they go online or, you know, whatever the case. So they don't make their kids go or it's just not the same. So we have to figure out a way that we can, you know, attract the millennial so that we can get to the point to where we can tell them about, you know, our God and give them some wisdom. But first, you got to have that hook. You got to get them instead of pushing them away.
And I'm glad you brought that up because that's what we were going to go into. And Pastor Michelle, I hope you're still there because we were talking last week about Halloween. Okay, we know we don't celebrate actually the well, first of all, let me stop there. Let me go to hip-hop. Let me go there because you brought that up because Kenny and I were talking about that. Okay, so you were saying that it's a necessity in order to incorporate hip-hop in order to attract them. We have a lot of people that think that way, but then you have the other side that thinks, that's saying, okay, well, no, because we're doing too much. You're bringing the world into the church when you're doing that, and we shouldn't have to do all of that to attract them. Then, you know, this new generation, they don't want to be, they're looking for churches that last about an hour and a half. Hour to hour and a half. That's it. Mm-hmm. They don't want to be there mm-hmm. no longer than that. If you're there longer than that, they're going to say it's too long. And we can say all day, well, you can be everywhere else for 3 hours, you know, because I'm guilty of saying that. Mm-hmm. However, does that mean that just because I feel that way that they're going to ever feel that way? No. They may always feel like, look, I'm going, I just want to get the word, give me the meat, give me what I got, you know, sing a couple songs, give me the meat, give me what I need, and that's it. I don't want to be there all day. So how, you know, we do have to find a way to reach them, like you were saying, I completely agree with that. So how does anybody else want to give their opinion on hip-hop in the church? Anybody?
I will give my opinion on hip-hop in the church. I have a 20-year-old. He'll be 21 in a couple weeks, and he does music. He plays the guitar, and he's been finding his niche in hip-hop. He knows who God is. He has his own personal relationship with him, and he's come to his own understanding that in doing hip-hop and some of his rap songs versus his acoustic guitar songs, he gains more people's attention when he put his music on SoundCloud. When he gains their attention, they have this rapport. He's built rapport up with people, honestly, now all over the world. But he always incorporates. They realize that there's something different about him. He's not cussing in his music or anything, but it's the type of music these kids want to hear to make them bob their head. And I've seen him take the conversation to another level to where it's not like how we would do where, you know, you pray about it, talk to God. He incorporates God in a whole nother way. to where he's building relationships, and it's coming through his hip hop music versus his music that he uses his guitar for.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you see the benefit of it. Okay. Anybody else?
I do.
Okay.
Oh, no, that was Evangeline.
Oh, okay.
She was saying she did, because I asked the question, so she was responding to me.
I see benefits, but I also see drawbacks.
You also
okay,
see
like,
benefits?
The benefits I see. Say again?
You say you see benefits in what?
I see benefits and I see drawbacks to having,
okay.
like
okay.
hip-hop, per se, in the church. You know, like, that's one. That music is another one of my passions. I've been collecting music since I was probably 12, 13 years old. I got probably good 50,000 songs on hard drives in my house. But some of that music just ain't meant for the church. It's not. And there's no way that you could justify it, put a spin on it, and try to explain to me that it is. Now, in the case where, you know, you're making music for the Lord, that's different. You know, that's completely totally different. But, like, some of these dudes, you know, like, we're talking about millennials now, so you have these dudes up there with their little pants on and they beads in their hair and all this stuff. Y'all laughing, I'm being serious.
No, you
don't. Y'all
are
laughing,
yourself.
I'm being serious. You know, I mean, y'all gonna have these are going to be dudes that are coming to your church just to hear who's singing or just to hear who's performing. You know, it might not be bringing people there for the right reason, I guess is what I'm getting at.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so you said if they're making music for the Lord. So, like, Kenny listens to gospel rap. I used to. It doesn't really – I don't really care for it like that anymore. But so would you say because it's, you know, as long as it's a beat, it's not a beat from a secular song – but it's something that they've made up themselves and, you know, and it's a rap about, you know, God. With that, would you, you know, how do you feel about that?
I feel like if, you know, somebody built a song from scratch and it was meant to praise the Lord, then it shouldn't matter how it's delivered. It shouldn't. But when you take that new Drake song and then put your words over it, praise God, ain't nobody going to be listening to what you say. They're going to be listening to them Drake bronc.
Yep. My point is
that's
that.
Right.
I was just, boy, it's like
you
just
what?
Tug in my head and just snatched it out. Just then I was just about to say the same thing.
Yes.
Mm. I was too.
So it does all boil down to.
Music.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I agree. Where, you know, been in church and they played that music. And it was to a song of a world song, and it was about, I think, let me sex you down or something like that. So then somebody accidentally started singing those other words.
Oh, gosh.
Cheese and bread.
Because it reminded them of it, you know, because that's the song they know first with those words. You know, it's just the mute, you know, you can't take the music from that song and think, oh, okay, their mind frame is going to be different because we put God in it. No. It was on the pulpit and somebody started, you know, those were the words that came out because that's where they got the music from.
Right, right. So,
and I
now,
definitely do believe that happened. Just me.
So then, are we conforming to the ways of the world then? That we are trying to get
absolutely.
Souls to Christ. But in order to get souls to Christ, we got to come up with gimmicks. And getting some of those gimmicks and whatever you want to call them, that those gimmicks become that we are indeed putting ourselves out there because we're supposed to be separate from the world.
Amen. I would like to say, with that being said, what Lili said, me and Pastor Quadron was actually talking about that. Somebody did an R. Kelly, and we don't, anybody on this line that said they don't know R. Kelly, Bump and Grind, go to Jesus, because y'all not telling the truth. Somebody put lyrics, and they said, I don't see nothing wrong with praising God all the time. What did you just say? Did you just
I'm going to say what I hear. My mind's telling me no. I know what I'm thinking.
I can't. Nothing. To me, there's nothing right with that. There's something wrong in my spirit. It doesn't connect. And so the Bible does tell us not to conform to the world. And that
right.
We also have to remember, in all this that we're discussing, and it's all great about hip-hop and all this stuff, we have to know this. The Word of God says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So no matter what we do, if we're lifting up God, he's going to do the drawing. He'll teach us how to draw. So we have to be careful not to conform to the world. I'm a big stickler about, I'm with Pastor Kenny. You know, I got up in church and did a gospel rap, you know. So I love music. But God has been dealing with me, especially like listening to Kirk Franklin, how he's doing, taking the songs of the world and just changing and things like that. We can't do that. That's too much of the world. And the thing about it is that people are accepting it and say, oh, yeah, well, it's okay. Listen, they got God intent into it. No, God does not need help. He is an original. He doesn't need – look – his music doesn't sound like the other music, and so that's what you got to keep in mind. But again, it's at the stage and the level of where you are in Christ. What convicts me may not convict you.
Right, right. Now back to that song you talk about, the bump and grind. When I was younger, I made a song. I said, I don't see nothing wrong with a little Duncan Hines. You know? And it was a good song because it was me talking about Duncan Hines, you know. But
I can't.
But
that was two twins we knew in school.
No, that was me, Duncan Hines, because I used to love eating cupcakes, and you know I still have my weakness with red velvet cake. I'm Duncan Hines. but what we can look at when we're talking about the Bible and the Word of God is that all throughout the Bible there was change, and we do have to be as Christians, we do have to be willing to accept change. But it's the matter, it's the matter, and it's the quality of change that we're expecting. Now, are we taking songs that were already brought out in the secular realm and trying to take them and change them? That's like trying to polish up a turd. That's just like the story where, you're trying to polish it up and shine it. You can't do it, right? You can't do it. Or that's just like the story where the people went in and they took all of the spoil, and then they try to come and bring it and present it unto God, you know, and they got punished for it. We're having the same thing happen along in the world today, where you're having people that's taking something that's from the world, and then they're trying to put a spin on it, and they're trying to make it spiritual when it's already been put out there that it's a secular song. There's a secular spirit over that song. There's a secular spirit over that beat. Yet we're trying to take it and we're trying to present it and dress it up and make it holy and acceptable unto God. But I believe that making an original, you know, making original songs, original beat, you know, and it's presented to God first, and not from the secular realm, and then brought in trying to make it into the spiritual realm to where it's being presented to God. I believe that there is something that can be done in order to bring that younger generation into the church. There's nothing wrong with change, but it's a matter of how the change is being brought.
I agree. I completely agree with that, and I do think that we have to know the line between change and conforming.
Yes.
I think sometimes that's where the problem comes in at, because, you know, we have some people that are just too far right. Oh, yeah, you just don't do anything in the church. It don't even matter. You know, God don't care about all the rules, you know. And then you have the other side where it's like everything is, you know, is seen as conforming. No, that's not how we grew up. That's not how we did this. That's not how we did that. And so then the younger generation is not being drawn in, and they're bored, and so they just choose not to go. And so it is finding that you know, that balance, having that balance and knowing the line. That's how I feel about it. You have something?
Right, but I'm not, and by no means am I knocking the, you know, the songs, the traditional spiritual songs. And none of us are. It's just a matter of being able to adapt and accept change. Because you know me, I can't remember. I think Shan, I think it was you saying the song "Going Up Yonder." I love that song. That song still is good to me. You know, the silver and gold. Mm-hmm. You know, the old Kirk Franklin, not the Kirk Franklin of today. You know. But there are a lot of songs that, you know, when I recommitted my life to Christ, that actually helped bring me through some hard times, and I still listen to them today. But there should be quote unquote an anointing to a song, but if we're taking that song like Brother Keto said, you know, the Drake song, that what is the Hotline Bling, you know. Or something like that. If we're taking that and we're trying to make that into, you know, a Christian song, we still got to look at, you know, the original lyrics behind it, what the song was meant to do, and it was meant to reach the secular realm opposed to meeting the godly spiritual realm.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I do think that is necessary, you know, to evaluate some things, because I don't know if. If we don't do some evaluations, you know, I don't know if we will reach this generation. Like, because this millennial generation, mm-hmm. they are different.
Mm-hmm.
They are. We know the Word of God doesn't change. You know, we know He's the same.
Mm-hmm.
But this generation, however, this generation is different. They are.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we do have to evaluate on how we can reach them without compromising. Without compromising the Word of God, you know. That's just my opinion. Does anybody else have anything to say?
I completely agree that this generation is different, and that we may have to. I mean, not that we may have to. We do have to figure out a way to come to them and speak to them on a level that they understand. But still have a standard. You know, God's people have a standard. Right. We're not in the gutter. We're not below, and we shouldn't go there just to get them, to bring them out, because now that doesn't make any sense here. Let me go in the gutter. And, you know, and then like the one TV show with the preachers of, I think, Atlanta, you know, she dressed like a hooker and was going and handing out cigarettes and condoms so that she could also tell them that she was a pastor and to come to her church.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I'm
good.
Not
that's
going to
mind.
Be of the gutter to get you that's... out of the gutter. I don't have to be of it. You know, we have to have a standard. Where does our standard come in? And, you know, me and Pastor Shell, we were talking this week, and she was explaining, and we were reading over the scripture in Matthew 24 and all the different parables. And she was telling me and helping me understand it, where these parables are all, it's different parables, but Jesus said it in different parables, but all speaking the same thing, having really the same meaning, but He said it in a way so that different people could understand it in different ways. He talked
That's
about
right.
it, you know, in farming, you know, in just different ways that people would understand so that He could reach the different mind frames. So we can say God's word, but we may have to say it in a way that they understand, but not going down to their, you know, not going in a gutter level, not going below God's standard.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's absolutely good. That's good. I like that, Leanne. You put that on. Now that's what I'm talking about. You put that out there. That's the truth.
I like that comment as well. And I think what it is, again, and I'll say it again, we have to be relatable. Because many times people, you know, they look at Christians as, I don't know, like we're not relatable. And I think a lot of times when people, you know, get saved, especially if they are from the gutter, they get saved or whatever, they forget
and then they become non-relatable. Now, I'm not saying that we have to conform and you got to look like a hoochie to go pass out some condoms or whatever. However, we have to still be embracing of those who haven't, you know, gotten to that point in Christ. So if you do look like a little hoochie and you tatted up and you speak, you know, you don't speak grammatically correct, we still have to be able to relate to them. Because I know, like with me, I deal with a lot of young adults. My son, he's 19, and most of his friends will come talk to me about, you know, their little issues or whatever, because I get with you. I can get with you, and then I can be professional when it's time to be professional with my professional job. But I had with me, it was like, okay, I have to be relatable to this generation, so I got to let them know, okay, I know where you're coming from. I know what's up. I know how to speak your talk. I know how to speak your language when it's necessary, because they want someone that can relate to them. They don't want nobody who they feel like, oh, you all that, or you don't know where I come from, or you ain't never experienced what I've been through or whatever. And I sure have, but I'm not still there, but I have. So I think that even though we don't necessarily want to conform, we still have to let them know, I know where you're coming from. I know what it's like. We have to still be relatable. That's why it's so important that we do incorporate change so that we can, you know, bring in these people. We have to draw them in, because there's so many people that's lost out in this world. And, you know, God is being removed, you know, from so many different levels. So it's our responsibility to figure out what do we do. And I think a lot of times we do have to, you know, even with Kirk Franklin, you know, I remember a long time ago when he first came out, my auntie was like, they play his stuff on the radio, on secular radio station, and they shouldn't do that. I'm like, why? People, you know, they who believe in God, I mean, what? They listen to that radio station too. So we just have to make sure that we don't get too churchy or too godly to where we continue to lose, you know, more people that's lost. And that's just my comment.
Well, yeah, and that also everything that we're discussing now, when it comes to you know, being able to reach this generation, is the scripture: "Be not conformed to the ways of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." That's basically saying that we can be in the world, we can live in the world, but let us not be of the world, and that means do exactly what the world is doing. Okay, so what that means is, you know, we definitely have to look at being what I would say spiritually relevant. Yeah, you don't want to be that's a Bible thumper and taking the Bible and telling people turn or burn, die or fry. You know what I'm saying? If you don't submit yourself unto God, but at the same time you still got to give them the raw truth. Because if we look in the Word of God, Jesus was real with his. Jesus told you how it is, how it was, and how it's going to be, you know, and he gave it to you straight. It wasn't no sugarcoating. He gave it to you raw. And okay. we have to be at a point to where we can do that and not compromise, you know, conforming to the world, but at the same time being relevant with people and being relatable. Yeah, you have to let them know. You have to show them that, hey, you know, what you're going through is not what we consider uncommon. You know, it's coming for us to be reckless and young as teenagers. But here's what I want to tell you. You being young and reckless as teenagers, as you get older, if you continue to be young and reckless, then this is what you can be walking yourself into. Because you're pretty much not preparing yourself for what is to come. You're pretty much saying, YOLO, you only live once. Well, I'm going to do it this way because this is how I always done. I don't care who pleased with it, who ain't. This me, this what I'm going to do. Yes, I mean, you got to be able to relate to them and be relevant at the same time when it comes to your spirituality. You have to let them know, hey, look, I was once that young man that was out there doing this and having these monogamous relationships. But what I realized that, you know, what I realized is that this happened. And you know, when I gave my life to Christ and I learned more about the Word of God, then I turned away from those things. When you do that and you relating to them, and you can reach out to them without like Sister Leanne and Shannon, Pastor Michelle, and everybody's pretty much saying online. You can reach out to, you know, the ones that are not saved or don't know, you know, the Lord, and not conform to their way of doing things just to pull them in, because then you're looking at some of them are looking at you as either being weak-minded, or they're looking at you as being a hypocrite because you're doing basically what they're doing, and then that pushes them away and say, well, they're doing the same thing in the church that we're doing out here in the streets, so why I need to go to church? So we have to be of spiritual relevance, and as the spiritual leaders in the world, we have to be the beacons of the world, and we have to be able to take God's word and be a light in a dark world.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I just got back. I don't know what I was saying. Anybody else have anything? I just came back in the room.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, Mom.
Hey, Mama Rose.
How are you all doing?
We're good.
Wonderful.
How are you?
I'm good. I just want to make this small comment. I was listening. The Bible tells us we have been born again and we become new creatures in Christ. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Instructions by Jesus tells us to put on Jesus. And when we put on Jesus, we put on righteousness. We don't think like we used to think. We don't think like the world thinks anymore, because we have been born again. And like Minister Kenner was saying, by the renewing of your mind, the Bible tells us also that Jesus said, I'll draw all men unto me. I do not go with what this young lady is doing, because first thing, it's not of Christ. Second thing, if she had done like Paul did and sit up under holy teaching, then you would know, because the light, like Kitty said, it's got to shine, and it can't shine with condoning sin and encouraging sin. That is not of God. I'm just going to put it out there and stand truthful. I've been saved for a long time. I never had to go back and think like the world think and encourage what Satan puts out there. And many have been changed, came to Christ, preaching the word, and it didn't take that. So this young lady is making a bad impact, because like you said, why would I change if you're doing this and encouraging me? You are encouraging me to stay a sinner. When Jesus said that we are to live a holy life, because he's holy. If we get into that word is going to tell us how to do things through holiness, not through how the world feels or how the world thinks. If you think about how you used to think, because when I was in the world, I had this thing about gay people that some of them were born that way, because the devil had me thinking in darkness. But when I met Jesus, he brought me into the light. And I learned that God only made female and male. That's it. And he told male and female to come together. Those are instructions by Jesus Christ, by our Father. So I just want to say something, and I agree with some of you on that. But don't let nobody encourage you to change your ways. Paul did a lot of teaching, whether he was at the church or not. He sent instructions. He told Timothy to stay connected to the truth, no matter what anybody else said or whatever they did. He told him to remember what I have taught you. And Timothy stayed with the truth. So we have to look at what the Word of God is. And the Word of God is true, because God has shown himself. He has shown his word. He has shown Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus went up on that cross because there was no sin that he had committed. Even though he took sin on that cross, but it was nothing that he had done. It was what all of us had done, was going to do in the future, because he died for the world. If he had had any kind of sin upon himself, he'd be lost. So just remember, stay strong. That young lady needs some prayer. Pray for her. But don't entangle yourself with her. You've been delivered out of darkness.
Right,
if
right.
You remember,
and you all were talking.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead. If you remember a test, when you walk into a dark room, you can't see nothing. I say a dark room. You can't see a thing. You be reaching for the light switch. But when you switch that light on, all the darkness has gone away. And it's nothing but light. And we are the light of the world. So I encourage you all, and I will keep praying for you. I love you, and I'm just going to put you on mute and continue to listen. But if the Spirit of God tell me to say something, I'm coming in, okay?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. You all were talking about, you said Lee Andrew, right, Johnson. Yeah, and even with her, she does need prayer, because there's a lot of deliverance that she needs. Like, she makes excuses even for herself, you know, the things that she does. And, you know, to talk, you know, if you all looked at the reality show, she was still drinking, and, you know, she's a pastor. And so then, you know, that's where that is conforming. All of the, even her leaders were conforming if they didn't correct. But they couldn't have. And I mean, you even had people that were still following her. And then we have this thing of, you know, that we hear all the time about, we can't judge, you can't judge, you can't judge, you know, all of this. And so these excuses were being made for the things that she was doing. So it goes back to, you know, we have to have that balance. We have to stick to, we have to stay to the Word of God. We have to make sure we're not doing that. However, we do need to be able to reach the generations that we're in, you know, with the Word of God, with the truth, with the light. We have to, you know, still we have to do that. But what she was doing was, no, it was just conforming and making excuses for the things she was doing, and I just couldn't believe that. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, she's still pastoring and still has a lot of followers. So, you know, I don't know. That's a lot. But you had something to say? So we'll get rid of it, Ian.
And out of all that, I wanted to go back to what Pastor Michelle said when she said she did a rap. Y'all, she rocked it too. I remember we did that.
Oh, you're talking about
My God is Awesome by Charles Jenkins. We rocked that song that day in Germany. It was beautiful. And all we continue to say was, you know, how God is awesome, and we began to sing about His grace, His strength, and His mercy upon us. And it was a beautiful song. I mean, the beat was nice. The beat was just on point. And you know, just as I was saying earlier, as far as with us not conforming to the world, okay, but if we like Brother Keto was saying, you know, and my wife was saying, and many of you were saying, that if we create a song that has originality and it has its own beat and it's intended first and only first to God, then and it has a nice beat to it, then we can reach the youth. There's nothing wrong with us being able to adapt to change when it comes to music, but with these millennials, in order for us to reach to them, we have to first. In order for us to truly understand the millennials, I think we need to definitely get an understanding of how they think. And once we get an understanding of how the millennials think altogether, then we have an opportunity, and then this gives us more to pray on when it comes to God, and go to God and say, hey, Lord, you know, we understand that the millennials believe this and they think this way, but Lord God, you give us the strength, you give us the direction and the unction to be able to go in and come in to bring forth and bring out of them, you know, what needs to be brought out of them, so that way we know exactly what to come to you for, and we know how to lead them unto you. So it definitely boils down to us getting our direction first from our Father, and then from that point we can actually reach and teach this generation Y, and make them not the generation WHY, but make them the generation that can be changed, because we know as well as just anybody else knows, we all thought that, you know, parents just don't understand, and when we were young, we thought that our parents didn't understand, and we thought some of us thought that, they're old, they don't know what they're talking about. But eventually, one day, those Generation Ys are going to be the same exact, you know, older people that's going to be thinking, like, why can't this generation just get it? And then they're going to be thinking the same way. So I definitely enjoyed the topic on tonight, honey. It was a great topic. I really want to say I appreciate you for bringing that topic forward.
Thank you. Yes, I agree. But pray and ask God, and He'll give us ways. He will give us ways to reach them. He'll even teach us how they think. You know, for those of you who have, like I said, you guys have raised kids in the, you know, the millennial kids. We haven't, but, you know, as leaders, I agree, we do need to know how they think, and God will give us ways. He will give us ways that will, you know, that will draw them, just like the scripture says. As long as we lift Him up, He'll do it. He'll give us the ways, and it'll draw them. As long as, you know, we're staying in His will. Does anybody else have anything to say about reaching Generation Millennial? Okay. All right. Well, if you guys have any topic suggestions, please let us know. You can contact us or go to the Facebook page, Family Matters with Kenny and Kwajalein. You know, let us know. We really are looking for suggestions. What do you guys want to hear? What do you want to talk about? You know, so please give us some feedback. Thank you all for tuning in on your Friday night. We appreciate you guys. Love you guys, and we hope that everyone has a good weekend.
You too. Love you too.
And bye.